This time of year, I always am bombarded with the same question over and over and over again. And this year is no exception. I'm asked right about this time of year, every year, Father, what should I do for Lent? people are thinking of Lent, and you know, Ash Wednesday's coming up, just a few days away. It's Wednesday of this week. We kick off Lent with Ash Wednesday. Seems like a very short turnaround for me anyways, from Christmas to Ash Wednesday. It's like, oh my gosh, how did we get here? But here we are. But I think that's a fair question to be asking yourself of like, okay, what are we going to do for Lent? And when we were kids, Mom would always have us get together, and we'd always have to, you know, share what we're doing for Lent within our family, you know, very religious and everything. And I'll never forget my brother, my younger brother. I've got four of them, but one of my younger brothers said, this year, I'm giving up riding my bike for Lent. And, like, he rode his bike all the time. But afterwards, he came up to me, and he said, my bike is broken. I can't ride it anyways. So kind of missing the point, right? That's not the point. But that begs the question, what is the point then? Why do we do things for Lent? Why do we give up things, or why do we take on extra things? So there are three parts of Lent that the church asks us to really, really focus on: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Now, we're usually pretty good about, you know, the fasting part, and we're giving stuff up, that kind of thing. But the prayer and the almsgiving, a lot of times that kind of gets pushed off to the side, or it's secondary. But even just in terms of giving stuff up, that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit today, of like the why behind it. Why do we give stuff up? You know, it's not just some sort of like self-help program where we're just trying to like make ourselves better, or just like a religious inflicted like weight loss program where we're trying to lose a couple pounds. And you know, that's not the point behind Lent. Now it could be a nice little side benefit, but that's not the point of Lent and giving stuff up and that side of things. So, but what is the point then? The idea is, in Lent, we intentionally choose to simplify our lives. It is an intentional choice that we get to have it. That I could, if I wanted to, I could have all these other things added in my life, you know, food, entertainment, all the things that I could put in my life and on my plate, but I'm making the intentional choice to live below that means. To live simplicity, so that I have room to open up for the Lord. And if you make it to Easter Sunday and you are not better or closer to God than you were on Ash Wednesday, then you have done Lent wrong. The reason why we give things up is, again, to open up that space. Now, if you want to know what to do for Lent, here's some advice for you. Look at your confession. What are the things that you bring to confession? That is the place to start for Lent. But I wouldn't even just say that, you know, the regular list. And here's the thing. Most people, when they come to confession, their confession looks a lot like this. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I told a white lie. I got angry at my kids. You know, I said a cuss word, you know, that the regulars, the all the things that I broke the rules, essentially, right? And that's a good confession. You need to confess that stuff. You need to make progress. But it's a drop in the bucket compared to what we should be asking. A question I love to put to people in confession, I've probably done it to most of you guys at some point or another. I put people on the spot with this question. Okay, so that you just finish your confession, you know, that's my confession. All right, here's the question. If you were to die in your sleep tonight, if you were to die tonight in your sleep, and you would not be canonized a saint, and you had to pick one reason, boil it all down to one thing, one holdup, one obstacle, one thing that's preventing you from being a saint, what would you say that is? Now, puts people on the spot. That's not a cheap question. That's a big question. But I'm always just kind of blown away of how quickly, even put on the spot in that moment, how quickly people can say this right here, this one. And even with all the people I've asked that question for, usually I don't get the same answer twice. It's a vast array of things, and people know this is it. This is my struggle. This is the thing right here. And what I've noticed is very, very, very often that thing that they just said is not something that they just confessed. They went through their checklist of here's all the ways I broke the rules, but there's no question to how do I grow in sanctity and where am I falling short there? Now, I'm not just trying to give you a bigger list of more things to confess. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that for a lot of us, we go around and we were trained in second grade to look down. Okay, don't trip up. Don't sin. Just watch your path. Don't watch, you know, avoid the, don't trip, don't fall, don't. What I am suggesting is that we look up. There's Mount Everest, guys. And the mountain of holiness, the mountain, like, I'm asking the question, how do I get up there? Instead of saying so focused on not breaking the rules here, we don't even think about how do I reach the heights. And those are two very different examinations of consciences. And that's why we're trained and we stay focused on this. And that's why when I ask the question and take you kind of out of that mindset, and then you start asking, okay, oh, there's something more that I could be striving for. The pinnacle of the spiritual life is not to never break any rules. That's like the baseline. The pinnacle of the spiritual life is closeness and unity to God. So, what should I give up for Lent, or what should I do for Lent? I would say, if you know that thing, if I can ask you, what is your biggest holdup? What is your biggest obstacle? What is your biggest, the thing that's holding you back? Go after that. That is what you should do for Lent. Concrete and specific as you can possibly be. So, if you look at that, and maybe you don't know. And that's, I said this last night, and somebody came up and said, well, Father, truth be told, I don't know what my biggest thing is. I don't know. And that's exactly why I raised the topic, because if you don't know, then you clearly can't be working on it. You see what I'm saying? You can't work on something that you have no awareness is even there. And so we stay stuck. And maybe we're not terrible, evil people. Maybe we're not murdering and committing adultery and stuff, but we're not moving the needle either. You see what I'm saying? Lent is about moving the needle. And again, it's not a self-help program, but it's an openness. A new opportunity to just let the Lord in new ways. So if you don't have that answer, what is your biggest holdup? Then I would suggest your homework assignment for this week is to carve out 30 minutes at some point during this week, a 30-minute chunk of time, and specifically ask that prayer in question in prayer. Lord, show me what is my biggest holdup. What is my biggest obstacle? What is the thing that is maybe I'm blind to and I can't see it, and it's there, but I just don't know what it is. When Jesus said, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open, he meant that. So when you ask a specific question in prayer, the Lord reveals things to us. He answers, I'm telling you guys, he answers prayer today, 2026. But a lot of times we don't even ask the questions. If you want an examination of conscience to kind of help you guide you through this, Today's gospel is an excellent place to start. Matthew chapter 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus goes up the mountain and he sits down and he says, okay, here we go. You got the law, the Ten Commandments, and Moses. God gave it to Moses and he gave it to you. And you have heard that it said, you shall not commit adultery. Here's the baseline. But I say to you, I'm raising the bar. I say to you, if you look at a woman with lust, you have already committed adultery. Here's the baseline of the Ten Commandments. You shall not kill. But I say to you, if you tell your brother, you fool, you've broken that commandment. He's raised the bar on us. And I really am trying to not just make this a bigger trip up of shame. Catholic guilt. Oh, thanks, Father. I know I'm a terrible person. I do all that. That's not, if that's where you're going with it, that's the enemy. What I am suggesting is a path forward. That we can honestly say, yes, I'm not perfect and I know I've messed up, but I don't have to stay here. That is the path of Lent. So, brothers and sisters, take that 30 minutes, ask the question, and then create whatever that thing is. Maybe my biggest holdup is I know I'm supposed to be praying every day, and I just don't. I'm too busy. I'm too distracted. Okay. Carve out 5 minutes of your day. Stop hitting snooze. The alarm goes off. You get out of bed, and you kneel down for the first 5 minutes of your day. That is concrete. Okay, I'm irate, and my cup is full, and I'm just always angry, and when my wife or my kids just say the right thing, I go off on them, and it's a constant thing. All right, then work on that. It really is a beautiful opportunity. This 40-day, it's not like forever, but it's a long enough thing that we can replace old habits that are not good with the good habits that we want to build. And that opens the door for the Lord to come in. And so I just challenge you to make this a Lent where you really strive to enter in. And then when Easter comes, there's a newness, a freshness. The resurrection means something. And we have the strength and the humility and the courage to allow the Lord in.